We're now going to be joined in the second part of this discussion on this anniversary of the death and passing of Freddie Gray with Timothy Wilson, co-director of On Our Shoulders, vice chairman of the Criminal Justice Committee at the Baltimore NAACP, and was a close friend of Freddie Gray's. And Tim, welcome. Good to have you back with us.
Hey, how's it going, Mark?
Very good, man. Good to hear your voice. And you all can join us here at 410-319-8888. Tweet us at Mark Steiner. Write to us here at talkatsteinershow.org, but 410-319-8888. So, Tim, I remember that when Freddie Gray was arrested, and we talked shortly after that, when he passed away, I mean, you had a relationship with him and his family. You were close. Reflect on that a little bit a year later, would you, please?
I mean, really, Mark, there's nothing really to reflect on because nothing's changed. Everything's still the same. I mean, you got people running around from out of town down here now and causing ruckus with, you know, the people that's here. And then, you know, you still got these pastors running around causing trouble. I mean, you know, it was like some programs was put in place, you know, like the Safe Zone. I think her name Erica Austin, pretty good lady or whatever. And then, you know, they got some program they building around there inside the projects now.
Right.
I think it's a good idea. It's, you know, it's supposed to be a resource center. And other than that, man, nothing's really changed. I mean,
well, I'll talk to you a bit here about just the work you're doing. But let me ask this question first, a personal question. So I think many people in the city who really care and concerned are wondering how is Freddie Gray's family doing? How are they handling this? How are they doing?
I mean, it's rough, man. It's really rough. I mean, because before Freddie, you know, they had an older brother that was taken away from them 2 years prior to Freddie, you know, so as her being the parent and the mother, you know, of four kids, and then, you know, both our boys are gone, it's rough. And we talking about, you know, somebody that they looked at every day. You know, Freddie was a funny guy, so he was just like an enlightened spirit to everybody. You know, so when you take that sunshine away from people, everything is dull. I mean, it was a tragic death, you know, and then it's like you got people that's making up lies and stuff about the family. So, I mean, what do you mean
making up lies about the family?
I mean, you know, when they had the story out that they went and brought a Lamborghini and then...
Oh,
you know,
right.
You know, stupid stuff. But, you know, I mean, they coming along. You know, they actually got a ceremony at 12 over at the gravesite. Today? Yeah, today at 12 over at the gravesite. I wish I could have made it, but I don't think I'm gonna be able to make it today.
But that to me is an important piece of. We don't talk about that. I mean, we talk a lot about the social conditions and where we are in Baltimore and the racism and how to change things in our communities and how to develop our communities. But and all of this that we don't want to get lost is the tragedy that happened to Freddie Gray's family and where they are and what you just described right now, that there's going to be a ceremony today at his grave, and I guess with the family.
Right. And then, I mean, you got a lot of people that's still running around, and, you know, everybody using Freddie Gray this, Freddie Gray that. And just like when the violence first spiked off after the riots, you know, all of these murders, it was always after the Freddie Gray riot. Like, it wasn't no Freddie Gray riot. It was an uprise from people being pissed off from these politicians playing games and lying to us. You understand what I'm saying, Mark?
Like, yep.
It's sad that people take one thing and use it for their own accountability to get up out of their situations, right? And then turn around and look at other people like they're the problem. Like, you know who I'm talking about when I say this pastor that's running around and portraying our people. And it's sad.
So what do you think? I mean, you're still deeply involved, I know, in On Our Shoulders, the group that Ray Cook started. You've been working with him and I've been staying socially active, as well as kind of getting your own training program to get your own work together. But I'm curious what you think people need to hear in the city a year later about what has to be done.
I mean, they need to create more jobs, man, and focus on this addiction process. I mean, look at our youth, man. Majority of our youth from the ages 14, and some adults too. It's just the young people, you know, from 14 to 25. If you ride down the street, you look at a majority of them are high for these prescription pills and nodding, and they don't know what to do with themselves. People dropping out of school. Our school success rate is terrible. So we need to focus on getting these people some help as far as the addictions and, you know, counseling. Because, I mean, think about this, Mark. How many times have you seen a social worker or a therapist in the neighborhood after somebody was murdered in front of these kids? You don't.
You don't. You don't. So, I mean, that's what you're seeing in terms of what young people need in this town.
Yeah, they really need help. Like, they need people that's going to help them and not lie to them and try to force them to do something that they don't want to do. The biggest part about this city is people like to throw things out there and promise these kids and these young people a lot of things and can't deliver. Just like the youth, I think it's called Youth Empowerment Center, down at the Martin Luther King Recreation Center.
Yeah.
A very good friend of mine, Arthur Kirk Squeaky, he put that center there. I remember 4 years ago when he first started, right? And I was telling Squeaky, I said, man, I really want to put something around here. He said, well, I'm going to see what I can do to get something around here, Tim. And right now to this day, he got a GED program around there. It's quite a few things. They give out food. You know, they service the community, right? But it's like you don't have nobody that's willing to back people like him in these programs. The same thing with Erica. You know, she did that around there at Penn North. How many people around there backing her?
Well, you're going to the heart of some of the problems here that we try to bring up in this program a lot, which is the fact that which you're describing here, his program at Youth Empowerment and all these other programs that exist, there are so many people in the community doing incredibly important and powerful work on all kinds, from housing to working with young people, working with ex-offenders coming out, giving people new opportunities for education and creative outlets, and they're not being funded. They're almost like they're ignored except for the people who are around them.
Right, but the thing is, they saying that the money is here and they here to help. Where is it? Because we don't see it. You know how hard it is to get funding, man? It's like we got to give parties and, you know, dances and stuff like that, and sell dinners and ask for donations. And it's sad because you got these government officials that have the money to do the right thing and they won't. They rather fund stuff like building more prisons to lock us up.
So tell me about what's now at the heart of your work.
Say that again, Mark.
Tell us about what is at the heart of your work right now.
Well, right now I'm actually I'm working with Billy Stanford with the Youth Services, right, over here in this high school at Ace Academy. And it's a struggle every day, right, because you come in here, you know, with these youth and these children and having them so lost, and it's like you're trying to rebuild their broken hearts. But you know something, though, Mark? What I found out is you can learn a lot from different people and different cultures because they help me better myself every day as a man when I come in here and talk with them. Because I look at some of my posts, right? Mark, you know how they got the thing on Facebook where it's like posts from the previous years.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit back and I laugh because I look at the way that I've grown from to where I'm at now. And I'm like, man, it's crazy how you can make a dramatic change in that short time. And right now it's like, man, I do anything in the world, man, to help these kids. That's my heart. That's my passion, is to help these kids better themselves. You know, I asked the kids the other day, I said, what do y'all want to be when y'all graduate high school? I didn't hear none of them say nothing about being a lawyer, a judge, a police officer, none of that. You know what jobs they said?
What?
One girl told me that she wanted to be a stripper. I wanted to cry more. Because it's sad that these kids are being taught that way. That's a job, being a stripper.
And I think that what you're describing is what we don't hear enough of to understand what we have to do.
I mean, this is the thing, though, Mark. We got enough gangsters. We got enough thugs. We got enough pretend gangsters. What we don't have is enough lawyers, doctors, and judges. You don't even hear the kids talk about it no more. Just like one thing, like I was just sitting back the other day, and I was looking at my credit report, right? And my credit score is so low, and I'm like, if my parents would have taught me about credit and why credit is so good to you as being an adult, I would have did a lot of things differently. So that's one thing that I'm working on with the kids here. You know, a lot of the seniors, I'll be telling them, listen, y'all going out here, y'all buying them little cell phones and stuff. Make sure you pay your bills on time. You know, just basically teach them about credit, because without credit, you have nothing. Right or wrong, Mom.
So that's the kind of stuff you're working with young people on right now.
Yeah, like I try to teach them life skills, Mark.
Well, Tim, it's always a real honor and a pleasure to have you on this air. And as soon as you can take a break and come here live in the studio, we'd love that. And maybe what we should do is just come down and visit you all.
I would love y'all to come down here, Mark. Bring the crew down here, man, so you can see how we progress. Maybe we can get down there to a couple of programs that's up and running, you know, so you can actually see firsthand. You know, people still out here working, Mark. Nobody gave up. It's just, you know, people not talking about it. I mean, the only thing you seen was CNN talking about the bad stuff. Now we got Mark Steiner's show, 88.9, that could come down in the hood and show what's really going on.
And we will. And we will.
And that's one thing I can say about you, Mark. You always represented the struggle with us. You know, that's why I don't have no problem doing anything, standing out there on the limb for you. You always been a good guy. I know you, what, 10 years now?
10 years. And well, give a big hug to Ray Cook, and I hope he's doing well, brother. And Timmy, we'll talk again very soon. As a matter of fact, I'll call you next couple of days. We'll set up a time to come down the next week just to hang out and do some taping and talking.
All right, no problem. I appreciate you having me on the show.
I appreciate you taking the time. I know you're busy.
No problem. Anytime, Mark. Peace and blessings.
Same to you. Timothy Wilson is co-director of On Our Shoulders and vice chairman of the Criminal Justice Committee at the Baltimore NAACP.